Yeah, thank you. Oh, I think I need to turn my thing on, don't I? Here. Is that better? Okay. Yeah, well, thank you, James, and yeah, Furman and Lorna, good to have you here. Gladys. And yeah, I just want to thank you again, your youth group, for coming out. And I was trying to remember who the sponsoring couples were. I think you were one, and it was a very, we were blessed by your young people being a life-giving group of young people. And that means a lot to us. Thank you. Yeah, I thought I might talk about my family here a little bit. This is actually, those of you that know our family know this is an old picture. I think we have, well, that's kind of a, yeah, kind of a bit of a crowded one there, but that's a little newer. Is this the pointer? Yeah. This little guy was added since the other picture. This is Kenna's. And am I doing something wrong here? Where's that noise coming from? And Judah. Kenna's would be Asher and Teresa's oldest one, and Judah is Marcel and Krista's oldest. And then Adrian is with Asher and Teresa, and Liam came since the other picture. And Asher and Teresa actually now have a third son, Cadman, who is see if I can find him here. There he is. Yeah, this is him. As you can tell, I love those little guys. This is our oldest daughter, Karita, and then Marcel, Asher, Christy, and Christopher. And little Judah there, he's a little longer shirt, I guess. When you hang on to tall guys, that's what happens. As you can see, okay, and this is me. let's talk about, I don't know if the children were listening. How many children do we here have six and under? Should we do something with this? Good to see you. So, do you see anybody missing up here in this family? Anybody missing? We got some little grandbuddies. We got an old grandpa. Where's grandma? Yeah, where's grandma? And I have another slide. I thought this was the slide, but I have her up here in the sky. She's up with Jesus, up in heaven. And so I have often felt bad for grandma because she never got to meet these little guys. But then I stop and think, maybe she has. Maybe she met them before I met them. Because we used to tell our children, they wonder where they were. And before they were born, we would tell them, that was when you were still in God's mind. And so, grandma's with the Lord, and children come from the Lord, right? So I think maybe grandma met those little people already. This is Los Angeles. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are ripe already for harvest. I don't know when the youth group came out. Did you fly in at night? I don't remember. Did you fly in during the day? During the day. If you were to fly in at night, it would look something like this. This is a Christy and Christopher and I, they're the ones that are at home with me. And we also live in our household. We have a lot of our single guys live with us as well. So there's about 10 of us all together in our household. But these are what's left of the Whitmer family. This is Pastor Jose and Sister Anna and their son and daughter, Richard and Vanessa. And this is their oldest daughter, Andrea, and her little one, and Nelson. And God has been doing a real work in this family's lives. We have commissioned him as pastor of one of our fellowships, but they're not perfect people. But then I'm not perfect either. Are your pastors perfect? You have perfect pastors? No, we try to be careful in our appointing of pastors, but they are not perfect. And their daughter is on a journey, and she had run away from home, but now is back, and she comes to church. And Nelson doesn't always come, but he comes. She comes, and she sits and listens to her dad preach. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. This is Sam and Bonnie Kurtz and their four children, Lauren and Megan and Ashlyn and little Allie. I call her Pee-wee usually. Allison, Allie. This is Benji and Maria Byler and their kids. It's a fairly recent picture. They're actually in Pennsylvania right now. Maria's father is deathly ill. Do you know Amos? Yeah. Peter Sam?
That's actually a sister to Rachel. Rachel attends
here. Oh, okay. I was wondering how Amos is doing. I don't know if anybody's heard a real recent update. This is Asher and Teresa and their three little guys. Cadman is... He loves his technology. Whenever I show up, he wants to come and crawl up in my lap, and first thing he looks for is my cell phone. And I've learned to start turning it off because I don't think the lights on these machines are all good for little people. This is Andrew and, did I miss one there? No. Andrew Miller and Lindsay. She was a Byler. I think some of you know her or might be related. She was originally from Middlefield. Her father just passed away. Their wedding was in August, and then he passed away, just her father. So Andrew said one time that it felt like he no sooner got his wife until he kind of lost her in a way, because she is really grieved the loss of her dad. This is Matt Troyer. Some of you may know him. Do you know him? He's even got a bigger beard than you, doesn't he? Although he's kind of he's tamed it down a little bit. Now, yours is probably bigger now. So Tanner Yoder from Arthur, Illinois. This is Brendan Stalsfus. He's one of our school teachers. We're in our second year of having a little school, and he's doing an amazing job. He'd never taught before, and we had some challenging little, wild little characters, and he's done really well. We have three teachers for five students, so that tells you a little something, I think. This is Jessica Yoder from Colorado High Country Church there in Westcliff, Colorado. She also teaches. Yeah, she has a little more experience with teaching. And then this is Ruth Ann. We call her Ruthie Brown. She also helps in the school. And she was a contact that Benji and Maria had. Just a good young lady as well. This is Gretchen. We baptized her this summer. We had a number of baptisms this summer. She was baptized. She comes from Mormon background. And it was quite a struggle for her, but she came to really desire baptism with us. This is her daughter, Benny, who is actually Benny started coming to church and hanging out with us even before Gretchen did, but Benny has not yet been baptized. But she's on a good journey as well. This is Hassel. In English, you would maybe say Hazel, but in Spanish, it's spelled J-A-S-E-L, Hassel. She grew up, was born in America, in California, and then went down into Mexico and lived with this guy for 10 years, had these four kids, and then eventually he became very abusive and she fled Mexico back into the States, brought her kids with her. So technically they were here without papers until very recently. God provided marvelously for them. Like $15,000 she needed to get the paperwork done, pay all the attorney's fees and stuff. And we had a few fundraisers and God provided for her. Just a beautiful heart for God, this young lady. Is that me or am I doing something? Or is it recording my thoughts or what is it? Maybe. Okay. Yeah, maybe that helps. Huh? So she, Hassel accepted Christ at our evening Bible camps. We have 2 weeks of evening Bible camps every year. And she hardly speaks any English. And so we had a teacher with us, Phil Yoder, who him and his wife Joyce know Spanish. In this pocket?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we put it in this pocket?
It's nothing but the antenna.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, just put it right in there. Okay. And so I wasn't able, I can understand some Spanish, but and I can speak a little bit. And I was kind of following along. I was sitting in the circle of adult. This was the adult class. And I could tell she was really leaning into that message. She was just drinking every word. You could tell, just observing. This was not been this past year, but the year before. And next thing I notice, tears coming down her cheeks. And Phil has a very gentle, just a gentle way with people. And next thing I knew, they were praying together. And she prayed to receive Christ that day. And it has been so beautiful to watch. Just she has such a heart for God and such a longing for her children to know God. And it was primarily because of her that we started the school. And so we had... Last year we had a student who was there with our evening Bible camps, and she said, I'm willing to come back and head up this school if you want to start school. So we had one room, we took one of our bedrooms in our house and had that for our schoolroom last year. Now this year we rented a little building right next to our thrift store, and it's a little more spacious. And so those four are there along with another... actually here, this is Rosa. Her son, Kevin, is a little older. He'd be the oldest, actually, in the school. And then this is also her son, Karen. Karen wants to come next year. I think next year we'll probably have closer to 10 students. So pray for our little school. We need probably even a little bigger space for next year. So this is Michael. Michael accepted Christ at the thrift store. One of our churches meets in the furniture section of our thrift store. So our morning service is at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, and he soon started coming to that. He started by coming to the thrift store, and he just, he so was moved by the presence of Christ that he sensed in people working at the thrift store, the staff. And he told us later that sometimes he would even come back to the thrift store after hours and just sit in his car outside the thrift store. He said, I just like the vibes. It was Jesus. It wasn't vibes. It was Jesus, Holy Spirit. He prayed to receive Christ eventually, and we baptized him last, I think, April. I meet with him every Thursday for Bible study, and he calls me Dad, so I call him Son. And he's on a journey, just aligning his life with the Lord. Let's sing this song together, can we? You know this, I think. You do, don't you? Can you stand? Let's sing this. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet. You may sit down. You know, we say that we place him in the highest place. He's already there, right? It really isn't our option to put him there or not. He's there. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But the song really is a challenge to me personally. Am I putting him in the highest place of my life? And so that is so important to remind ourselves of. Three quick concepts I'd like to go over here quickly before we get into the message. And what time should I be done here? When I'm done, huh? 6 o'clock tonight? Soon? No. I think I'll be done by noon at least. These are, we kind of build our ministry and way of doing ministry around these three, what I call critical concepts or crucial concepts. First one being sequence, putting first things first. Feasting from the tree of life rather than from the tree of knowledge, and you know where that's found in Genesis. No sooner do we get going in the Bible until we read this about the tree of life. And God has promised that if we feast from the tree of knowledge, we will surely die. And so that's why we love to worship. Worship is feasting at the tree of life. Learning is at the tree of knowledge. And worship comes before learning. We really need to believe in what we're hearing and reading if we're going to be able to obey it. And so, you know, I could ask, you know, I don't want to spend too much time here, but in the Garden of Eden there with the snake, the serpent, and so forth, you could say, well, what was the sin? And most people say, disobedience, which it was, but what comes even before disobedience? Why do people, if you hear something, if somebody were to come in here and say, a tornado is coming from this direction, we need to flee, and we just stay here, what would that indicate? Doubt, yeah, unbelief. We don't believe it. If we believed it, we'd be out of here, right? We'd be obeying. So, and that has to do with worship. Worship. Worship is what worship is. Is God worth listening to? Or is the snake worth listening to? So it reflects where our worship, who is worth listening to? And that has to come first. That worship has to be there. We could force obedience. You know, we could say, well, here's the facts. Which it's important to understand the facts. And Proverbs says, get wisdom, get understanding. But to really, for it to be a heart experience, first things first. And so we really emphasize worship, getting people's hearts in touch with God. And once their hearts are in touch with God, the following is a given, really. So sequence, then focus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Paul said he was determined to know nothing among the Corinthians save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The rest is peripheral. You know, I believe it's important that we understand what baptism is, obeying, non-resistance, even the headship veiling, those kinds of things. We believe and we practice them and we teach them. But that's not where our focus is. Our focus is on Jesus Christ. Because if we switch focus and we say, well, we're going to focus on baptism and really make sure that, you know, everything's right about that, somehow we've edged Jesus into the peripheral. And we don't want to do that. We want to keep him focused. Because we're Anabaptists, right? Anabaptists have a Christ-centered theology. You can be proud of that. Don't ever apologize for Anabaptist theology. It's the best theology around because it's Christ-centered. Yeah, we don't, you know, we appreciate the Pauline, the epistles. We appreciate, we learn from that. We believe it, we practice it, we obey it, but our focus is on Jesus Christ. Balance, holding it all together. Valuing all of God's word and keeping it together in context. So let's hurry on here. I'd love to sing that song, but let's, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I would love if you could take some of these passages and look them up and read them for me. Get ready to read them when we come to them. Being a Christian involves three things: a choice, a change, and a challenge. Let's have someone look up Acts 26:28 quickly. Volunteer, thank you. Let's have. Let's go to the main points here. Acts 11:26. Okay, there's that. He's your brother, right? Yeah, I thought so. Do you exchange beards sometimes? it would work, I think. 1 Peter 4:16. Okay, thank you. Okay, now let's go back up to the first one. Hebrews 9:22. Okay, thank you. Proverbs 28:13. Thank you. 1 John 1:7. Okay, thank you. And then jumping down to number 2, Colossians 1:20. Romans 6:6. Romans 12:1. And then third one, Acts 4:33. Yeah. And then Romans 8:11. And also look up Ephesians 2:6. Okay, thank you. And then finally Galatians 5:16. Okay, so what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, I think many times, you know, we live in Christian America, right? And so I think many times we end up with how many million people are in America? We end up with about those many definitions of what it means to be a Christian. So we want to come back to the scriptures and look at what this really means. Someone read Acts 26:28.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Okay, so Paul was before Agrippa, King Agrippa, and there was this dialogue going on in court, the way it looks, sounds, and Paul gave a long testimony, and then King Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul's response to that was, boy, I would to God that you were not almost, but altogether, even like I am, except for these chains, he said. But that speaks to a choice. Being a Christian involves a choice. So, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So, you have to make a choice. It's not osmosis. Just because mom and dad were Christians, just because grandpa and grandma were, doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You have to make your choice. And subsequently, even along the way, as you come to follow the Lord in baptism and obedience to baptism, or whether it's wearing the headship veiling or whatever, you need to own that. If you really want to be alive in your life and not just this, can't think of the word I was looking for, but just this robot, you have to own your convictions. So know God, know His Word, own your convictions, make those choices. It all begins with a choice to follow Jesus. Okay, the next reference there, Hebrews 9:22. Who had that one? Okay. I think it says without the shedding of blood. Okay, so you make a choice. It has to do with the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian? There's the blood of Christ, and we know the story, Jesus' death on the cross. We're going to look at the principle of the cross coming up. But that the blood, nothing takes the place of the shed blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that can wash your sins away, through faith in what Jesus did in shedding His blood. It means dealing properly with sins. Proverbs 28:13. Yeah, so we need to deal properly with sins. We need to confess and forsake. And we talked at the men's meeting yesterday, or maybe it was Friday night, about what confession means. Confession means to agree with, to same say, to say the same thing that God says. So when God says, I am Lord, and I say, yes, Lord, you are Lord, that's confession. I'm confessing Christ as Lord. When God says, you, Ernest, are a sinner, I say, yes, Lord, I agree. I'm confessing that I'm a sinner. And so we need to confess our sins. Whoso hideth them and tries to cover them shall, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. It results in a cleansed life. 1 John 1:7. Okay, the blood cleanses from all sins. It results in a cleansed life. You are free. You are clean. That's what we talked again yesterday about. So what happens when our sexuality gets all messed up and, you know, and we become impure before God? We can become clean. Absolutely cleansed. If we confess and repent and turn from, we can be just as clean as anyone is clean. Results in a cleansed life. Okay, means being a Christian, it means making a choice. It also involves a change. Acts 11:26.
And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
Yeah. By the way, these are the only three times that you find the word Christian in the Bible. You would think that a Christian Bible would have the word Christian all through it, but it has Christ all through it. But these are the three times that you find the word Christian. So the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why do you think they were called Christians? They were Christ followers. They acted like Christ. How did they know they were Christ followers? Because they reminded them of Christ, right? They had seen this guy that was called Christ walking around doing miracles, living a lifestyle in a certain way, and here comes these other people that, yeah, they weren't Christ, but they sure reminded us of Christ, and so they were called Christians, little Christs. That's what Christian means. They were first called Christian in Antioch. Because of the change. I remember Milt Lehman. I don't know how many of you know Milt, but from northern Minnesota there. He didn't accept Christ. He raised in a Christian home. Older brothers and sisters that were Christian. He had one older brother that had and then turned away from Christ. But he was 16 years old when he accepted Christ. And I heard testimony in Little Fork. that said, you know, Milt Lehman walks different. He even walks different than he used to when he'd walk down the street. That's a change. You see a change in people. There's got to be a change. You know that song, you have to live a life anew. You have to die to yourself. A change. So, being a Christian involves a choice, involves a change. This has to do with the principle of the cross, Colossians 1:20. Made peace through the blood of his cross. The cross is the place where the blood was shed. The cross. It's a place of death. It's an ugly thing. We use crosses nowadays almost as an ornament, almost as a decoration. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was a horrible, bloody place of death, crucifixion. And as the songwriter said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. It's a place of death where I need to die. My old self means dealing continually with self. Continually. It's not just once upon a time. Yeah, I accepted Christ when I was 10 years old. I was baptized when I was 12. Done deal. No. Even this week, I've had to deal with self. Continually dealing with self. Denying self. Take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. Romans 6:6.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin.
Yeah, we're not going to serve sin. Right. And, you know, we could get into a lot of theology and discussion here, but one of the reasons I need to deal continually with self is because I continually have this sin nature, this fallen nature. My spirit is made perfect in Christ, but my flesh still wants to sin. And so I need to deal with this on a continual basis. That doesn't mean that I don't have the Spirit of God. He's ruling and he's reigning, and it's by his power that I can say no to self. But I don't believe in sinless perfection. Just last week, somebody called me on the phone. They saw one of the billboards and called, and they said, well, call me. And basically, he was looking for somebody to agree with him about sinless perfection. I was kind of bothered because I thought, well, we would have so much in common, we didn't really have to tangle over this little technicality. But when he found out that I didn't believe in a sinless perfection, he was done talking. So that's okay. God will still work with him and bring him to glory. I asked him, I said, so would you say that you're perfect, that you're sinless? No, but I need to believe that I can be. Well, I assured him, your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is totally saved. But we have this soul, this mind, will, and emotion that we need to continually bring under the Spirit. Results in a committed life. Romans 12:1.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
That sounds like commitment, doesn't it? And I think it was Elizabeth Elliot that said one time, the problem with living sacrifices is they want to keep crawling off the altar. So we need to keep committed, get back up here where I belong, on the altar. So being a Christian means a choice, involves a change, it introduces a challenge into my life. 1 Peter 4:16, the third place where we find the word Christian.
Yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf.
So what's that mean? If any man suffer as a Christian, This introduces the whole power of the resurrection. Oh, did we? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this has to do with the power of the resurrection. Look up Acts 4:33.
And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all.
With great power, they gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and what's it say? Great what? Great something came on them all.
Great grace
came upon them all. Yeah, and that's where we do this, dying to self. It's by the power of God, by the power of His Holy Spirit. It's called grace in our lives. It's not by the dictates, God saying, you must do this, but He also gives us the grace, the divine ability to do this. Great grace. It's really the power of the resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is what gives me the power to live and walk in newness of life. It means dealing openly with the Spirit. Romans 8:11.
But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you.
Yeah, there it is, right there in Romans 8:11. Ephesians 2:6. Did the same one look that up? Okay. Very good. And we deal openly with the Holy Spirit and just to give Him free course in our lives. And, you know, that's why, I don't know about you, I appreciate the way, I love this body, James. Praise God. You and the elders and everyone here producing the life of Christ. I sense His presence here today, the power of His presence. You know, and as I like to put my body into cooperation with what we want God to do. I think it was E.M. Bounds that said, whatever your body does affects your soul. And he was talking about posture in prayer, and he said that's why it's so good to kneel before God in prayer, because it puts your body into that humbling position, and it helps your soul to be humble if you put your body into that position. That's why I like to go like this and raise my hands to God, because it kind of opens me up so that His Spirit can come. You know, obviously I don't need to do that, but it affects my soul. If my body does this, somehow my soul is more open to God. And that's what we need to deal openly with the Holy Spirit. Results in a controlled life. Galatians 5:16.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah, do you want to go ahead and read that larger section there?
For the lust, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law.
Yeah, just keep on reading there.
Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, rebellion, and such like.
Yeah.
The which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
So, yeah, yep.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the affection, and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen. This results in a controlled life, being under the power of the Holy Spirit, as compared to the spirit of this world, the opposite, that's controlled by the devil. So we want to be controlled by His Spirit. And that we're not living according to this letter. And, you know, it's so disappointing to me when young people come to Los Angeles or wherever they are, and we soon begin to sense that they don't really know what they believe. And they haven't owned that. They haven't made that choice. Oh, maybe they made a once upon a time kind of choice, but they haven't owned their convictions, their beliefs. And then we begin to see, you know, they're far away from their churches, from their parents, and suddenly they're not walking in obedience to even things that they know we believe. They know up here, but they haven't owned down here. Someone has said, many people are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches. They know it up here, but they haven't really owned it down here. And that's why I really appreciate ADC, and I was privileged to be there in January, I think it was. Anabaptist Disciples of Christ. We have so much to offer our culture as Anabaptist disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, learners of Christ. And it's all about owning that, making that choice, seeing that change come about in our lives, and then accepting the challenge. It's not going to always be easy. There are a lot of people that don't understand us. And sometimes the toughest is with other Christians. And I'm pretty generous toward other Christians. I don't condemn people. But just because I'm generous toward other Christians doesn't mean I accept their wrong teaching or their disobedient lifestyles. You know, we own that. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and anything in His Word. And just because we hold up Christ as the highest, and we believe in a Jesus-centered message, doesn't mean that somehow we tamp down the rest of Scripture. No, it's not a belittling of the rest of Scripture. It's just simply an exalting of Christ. And just as we look to Jesus, everything else finds its place. And I just want to encourage you. I sense you are doing well in making disciples, even of your own children, and they're owning the Word of God. And God bless you in that. But this is a little thing that helps me if somebody just on the street says, what does it mean to be a Christian? Just think of those three things. It involves a choice, a change, and a challenge. I think maybe we have one more slide. Oh, wait. I guess that's it. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You so much for Your Word. Your Word is alive. It's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, there's just no way that somehow the Spirit is going to come now and say something to me that contradicts what You've already inspired in Your Word. And Father, I just thank You that we can trust You. It's called faith. We just embrace You, and we accept and own this God that we serve, this Jesus that we follow, this Word that we honor. We do not worship the Bible, Lord. We worship You. We worship You, the God of the Bible, but we honor everything You say in Your Word. And we follow You and obey You in it. Just continue to remind us of that this week, and bless this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen.